Great. Let's look at the message today because we have to, there's a lot on the agenda this morning. And some of you want to watch a football game this afternoon too, right? Yeah. The message is called Organizing Around the Spirit. We can read alternately. And from Acts chapter 6, verses 1 to 6. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them. This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Also Philip and Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas. Oh, I know Nicholas. From Antioch, a convert to Judaism. We're going to do something this morning that we've never done as a church before. Do you know that? And that is to have an annual general meeting immediately following the service. We've had quarterly meetings, but never an AGM, because sometimes AGMs go a little bit longer than quarterly meetings. So we're going to try it. And my theory is that because people haven't had lunch yet, they're just going to say, yes, 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 and we're out of here. That's my theory. Right? That sounds good to me. But anyhow, I'd like to just sort of set the tone for that. Since obviously the AGM, we follow Robert's rules, and we're very strict in terms of how we do business and whatever, and you say, well, that's nothing to do with the church. It's very important. Administration and doing things in an orderly way is very important in God's agenda. And we're going to talk about how that administration fits in with the movement of the Holy Spirit and our relationship with God this morning. And so that's why I've called, it's based on this passage of scripture we saw here. Now there's a great deal of emphasis on leadership these days in the church, for pastors, because I'm a pastor and I've been around for a while now. And there's a lot of seminars that I've been to and I've been encouraged to go to on vision casting, how it's important to cast vision, administration and organization, and I've been to a lot of them. In the last 30 years, and they've been good. But however, sometimes it's been communicated, sometimes subtly, sometimes not so subtly, that if you want your church to grow and be successful, the most important thing for a pastor to be is a good administrator. A good administrator. And I can remember one time in the early 80s, when I was fairly new at this church, and I went down with a bunch of other pastors to a seminar and whatever, and this is basically what he's saying. He said, if you want to be a good, successful pastor, first and foremost, you've got to be a good administrator. So we're looking at the pastors there. We're looking at each other and thinking, well, that's not why I went into the ministry. I'm not even fussing at administration, to tell the truth. I mean, I know it's necessary and it's good, but it's not my strength. You know what I mean? I went into the ministry because, well, I loved the Word of God. I love to teach the Word of God. I believe that with the Holy Spirit, that the Word of God, the Gospel, changes lives. And I just felt, God put that burden in me, and He called me, and I get response from people and stuff like that. And I love to pastor people, and maybe I don't do a great job of it, but I basically love you guys, and I know you love me and stuff. And so that's why I went in. And most of the pastors said, yeah, well, that's why I went in too. I didn't go in to be a good administrator. Well, how does that all fit together? I'm not sure I agree with that emphasis that the most important thing for a pastor is to be a good administrator. I'm not sure I agree with that. And I think maybe this passage kind of brings that out. It's important. Administration is important. But is it that important? I'm not sure. Anyhow, we're going to talk about that this morning. And let me give you a brief overview. Can we go back to, right to the first slide? Yeah, there. And let me just quickly go over this, quickly, give you an overview. What's going on here? Well, this is the early church in the book of Acts, and it's in Jerusalem, and it was sort of divided into two kind of ethnic groups almost. There were regular Jewish people, like most of the early church were Jewish, and then there were Grecian Jews. These were Jews, they were still Jews, but they had been from other countries, and they'd learned the Greek culture. They kind of maybe Maybe, you know, the Jewish language, Hebrew, was not their first language. Maybe something else was. And they had a Greek culture. So they were, and so there was this kind of potential for misunderstanding between these two groups, if you know what I mean. And apparently in those days, you know, there was a problem sometimes with, well, it was a hard life. Like, you live from day to day, right? For most people, unless you were rich. If you were rich, that's fine. But if you weren't rich, it was like day to day, do I get my bread today? Literally, you know, give us this day our daily bread was a real heartfelt prayer in that society for most people. And so if you became a widow, you had no support. And, you know, they didn't have government support in those days, right? Unless somebody gave you food, you're going to starve. That's all there was to it. Unless your family could take care of you, some cases that wasn't the case. So they would have this organization where the church itself would feed the widows that were hungry. And apparently in the organized way that they were distributing this food, the Hebrew Jewish widows who spoke the right language, etc., were getting ministered to, but the other ones, the Grecian Jews, their widows were being overlooked for some reason. Now, we don't know the details here, right? But this is obviously an administrative problem and causing some problems because it says they complained against the Hebrew Jews. So the 12 gathered. 12 would be the 12 disciples, you know, the Peter, not Peter, Paul, and Mary, but Peter, James, and all those guys. So the 12 gathered all the disciples. They gathered the whole church. Now, Jerusalem, there were thousands of believers in Jerusalem at this point. Thousands. So I don't know how they did this. You know, they didn't have microphones. You know, in 3,000, 5,000 people in an arena. So they must have met in different groups. I don't know. But I'm not sure. Or maybe they sent representatives. I'm not sure. But they gathered all, this is all whole church together. And it says it wouldn't be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word in order to wait on tables. In other words, the 12 disciples are saying, this is an administrative situation that we have to deal with. It's very sensitive. But it wouldn't be appropriate for us to start giving our time to try to figure this thing out because God's called us to preach the word and to pray. So we're gonna delegate this, okay? So brothers, it says, verse 3, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom, and we'll turn this responsibility over to them. What's the next slide? And we'll give our attention to prayer and the word. And this proposal pleased the whole church, and they chose these 7 people. And the last one's Nicholas. I like that. Saint Nicholas. Maybe that's where Santa Claus came from. I don't know. And they presented these men to the apostles who prayed for them. So that's the basic background of what's going on here. So let's quickly look at 4 points that we need to look at in terms of, because we're looking at administration here, right? We're looking at organization, administration, and we're looking at our relationship with God. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. We're talking about prayer. We're talking about the Word of God. So how did these two interact in Acts chapter 6? That's what I want to look at this morning. Well, number one, the problem was an ineffective administrative practice, right? In the way that they were distributing the food, it was not being done fairly, and it was being done ineffectively. And so I want to, next slide there, just make 3 quick points there. Would you agree with this point? Poor administration at church can cause conflict in the church. You know, when things might be unright and you get frustrated and it's sloppy and maybe it's not fair because of it and what have you, it can cause conflict in the church. So administration, good administration, you know, can be an important thing. And second point is it is appropriate for church members to approach leadership with administrative or procedural concerns. Would you agree with that? I think it is. And that's one of the things we have in our annual general meeting after church today. And everybody in the church has the right to put up their hand and say, well, what's going on here? And express their opinion. You know what I'm saying? Like, well, I have a concern here. And maybe sometimes if you have a real concern that's, you know, maybe a hot issue, maybe the best time to do it is not at the AGM. Maybe before the AGM, after the AGM, and privately with the leadership, so you don't cause a big kerfuffle. You know what I mean? Let's just be sensitive stuff. But that's certainly, the AGM is one place that we can express our concerns. And a third point I would make there is you don't have to have a perfect attitude to present your concerns. It says they were complaining against the Hebraic Jews. So here's these Grecian Jews. They were grumbling and complaining. And if you were a mature Christian, from what you know about the Bible and the Sermon on the Mount stuff, and what have you, is complaining and grumbling and complaining and grumbling a good thing? No, that's not the best way to express your concern, right? But nonetheless, who's perfect? You know, just one or two of you. Who's perfect? And sometimes, you know, we get frustrated with things in the church, and we just like, well, okay, it's better than just not saying something, right? They said it the way they felt. And, you know, God's gracious, so we need to be gracious to each other. So, yeah, you don't have to wait till my attitude is totally perfect. I am totally emotionally detached from the situation. I'll now share my concerns with the leadership. Well, maybe you may not get there totally. You know what I mean? Well, try. You know, try to move in that direction. Try to be loving. Try to be gracious. But nonetheless, you know, you don't have to be absolutely perfect to present your concerns, because we are not perfect and we need to be gracious to each other. Amen? God's gracious to us. We need to be gracious to each other. So we're not perfect. Okay, number two. Pastors, here's my second point. Pastors know the need for good administration. When the 12 disciples, who were kind of, you know, the spiritual leaders of that church, were when this concern was brought to them, they didn't say, "Oh, it doesn't really matter, you know, whatever. Just follow this, follow the leading of the Lord. Who cares?" They didn't say that, did they? They realized, no, we need to deal with this situation. They realized that it was a huge administrative problem, that there were a lot of logistics involved. It wasn't something they could solve. Oh, why don't you just do this? It wasn't like a 5-minute or 10-minute solution. This is like, no, this is going to take hours and days. It's not only a logistics problem. We've got feelings here between two groups of people. So this has to be done slowly, compassionately, with understanding. This is a huge logistics problem that's going to take a long time to solve. So we just, you know, we cannot deal with this now. We can't spend days or weeks or maybe months. I don't know how long it took them to solve this problem. We can't do that and get away from the prayer and the Word of God. You know, but we realize it needs to be done. So what we're going to suggest to you is that let's delegate this to the church. And they just realized that this was something that needed to be done. By the way, this problem in the book of Acts in chapter 6, it was quite a substantial problem, apparently. Like, if it hadn't been dealt with properly, the whole church could have had a huge church split, and the whole thing could have blown up. That's what John Stott, he's passed away now, but he was an Anglican, quite a significant Anglican pastor in England, and he's written a lot of books and what have you. He's got a very gentle, kind spirit, and he was quite a significant person. As a matter of fact, Time magazine at one point said, in terms of the top 100 influential people in the world, they named him as one of them. Isn't that interesting? And he was a chaplain to the Queen, etc. Anyhow, he was teaching, he came into Vancouver to teach at Regent College just for like a 2-week course on the book of Acts. And I was working in accounting in Campbell River at the time. This is the late 70s, long time ago. I thought, I'd like to go down. You know, I'd already been through Bible college and stuff like that. I'd like to go down just to hear him, because you take this course, you can audit the course, say, for 2 weeks. And so I went down there. So he came to Acts chapter 6, and he said that, yeah, he mentioned that this was a huge problem. And his take on it was that it may have been even inspired by the prince of darkness. I don't know if you believe in the enemy or whatever, that he tries to cause trouble sometimes. Do you believe that? I don't know. But he says he tried to cause division with Ananias and Sapphira. That didn't work. Chapter 5. Now we're in chapter 6. Let's try something else. Let's get people all upset about, you know, the poor administration that's going on. Get them all bent out of shape. Maybe we can just split the church right in half here. I mean, I think there's something to it. That was his take on it. He says, no, there's darkness out there, and that's trying to destroy the work of Christ. And sometimes some of the stuff that happens in the church is a result of that kind of thing. So what's the next slide there? I think that's the first point I was making. It was a huge administrative problem with sensitive feelings. Anyhow, the second point is under that is, the spiritual leadership still trusted the people with the decision. Isn't that interesting? Here's the church. He said, we trust you, the whole thousands of them. You guys appoint somebody to take care of this problem. We trust you. We delegate this to you. A delegation is an important part of administration. It requires a lot of trust. And he said, we're going to do that. And my third point is administration is very important. Administration is bringing organization out of chaos. And just a couple of verses there, I'll go through quickly. As human beings, that's part of our purpose in life. Do you know that? Is to bring organization out of chaos. Why were we created? Genesis 1:26, to be like God and let them rule over all the earth. The earth needs to be administered fairly. Otherwise, it could just be chaos. No, I'm treating you. You know, like you couldn't put, for example, you couldn't put chimpanzees in charge of administrating the earth. They wouldn't know what to do. They would understand the concept. Administration, what's that? But human beings can, right? Because we're in the image of God. So it's our responsibility to take care of planet Earth, to organize out of chaos. And that's part of our purpose. And then, you know, he said to Adam and Eve, here's the garden. You know, work at it. Take care of it, you know. You know, those of you who are gardeners, you work hard and everything's planted in the right place. You take care of it, you water. It's an organizational administrative type of thing, eh? And he says, that's part of our purpose. What's the next slide there I've got? Oh, here's something interesting. I thought I'd throw this one in. This shows the importance of administration, even in the church, even with the Holy Spirit working in our midst. Here's a situation in Corinth where God was, you know, they had a worship service, a bunch of Christians were gathered together, and the Holy Spirit was sort of impressing certain things upon people's hearts, different individuals, and they'd stand up and say, well, God, I think God's laid this on my heart. And they'd start speaking, and he says, the problem was that there was like 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 people standing up at the same time. No, I think God's saying this in my heart. No, I think God's saying this. And it was like chaos. And he says, no, it should be like one person at a time. And even though God's saying something to you, he's saying stuff to other people too. You still need to be polite and loving and considerate and just say what you need to say and then sit down and let someone else say what they need to say. And then you sit down and and then he says, makes the last statement there, for God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. You know, even in our AGM, you might say, well, I feel this, and you might have strong feelings about it, and that's okay. But, you know, you're not the only person with an opinion, right? It's like, you need to be polite and say, well, what's your view? And it's my opinion, as I understand the body of Christ, that the Holy Spirit says something maybe a little bit different to each person. Everyone's got like a piece of the puzzle, but nobody's got the total picture. That way we need each other, and that's the way God wants it. So when we express our opinions, we have to realize, okay, I don't have the total picture, but I have this piece which I feel strongly about, but other people got other pieces, I need to hear them too. And everything needs to fit together, and we need to respect each other, and that's the way the Holy Spirit works. Does that make sense? So that should, you know, hopefully cause us to realize that, wow, even in the way we do organization, you know, the Holy Spirit's involved, and we need to be mature about the whole thing. Okay, what's number three, my point number three? Delegation and ministry involvement is important. Again, the pastors delegated to the church. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you. And they delegated to the church. It was a congregational form of government, interesting in some ways. I remember in the 1970s, early 1970s, going way back now, I was attending a college in the States, a Bible college in the States, and the church that I was involved with then had a hierarchical form of government, where there was someone at the top, you know, saying what needs to be done, and then it came down to these guys, and you come to these guys, and the congregation at the bottom was just like, yes, sir, whatever you say. And there's no decision-making done at the grassroots bottom with the church. And I remember in one of my classes down there, because I was going to the Bible college down there, one of the teachers was fairly high up in this hierarchy, actually. He was actually the next level down from the top person. I'm not naming names here, because you never know. It goes on the Internet, and, you know, it's not a good thing, right? So he at the time was having some difficulty with some of the beliefs, like this hierarchy stuff. And he, remember, he's talking about, I still remember it, Acts chapter 6. He said, isn't it amazing? They delegated to the church, and the church made the decision. They voted on it or whatever. They had to vote, have some form of voting. Isn't that amazing? It's like it was a huge revelation. Because it was totally different than the way things were being done. I still remember that. It's a privilege. And that's, and so we have a, in our Baptist church, we have a congregational form of government. It doesn't mean that all the other governments are wrong. And, but we do recognize that everyone, every believer is filled with the Holy Spirit. And to a certain extent, they can be trusted to make decisions, and they need to. The body needs to do that. What's the next? Like Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, we're all baptized by one Spirit. We've all been given one Spirit to drink. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Instead, you should be saying, look, I hand it to you. You need to really do it. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. Like, we need each other, right? We need to listen to God, and we need each other for organization to happen appropriately. Does that make sense? So that's kind of the idea behind what we do here. And then not only did the pastors delegate to the church then delegated to seven people among them. And so here we have this, we delegate to you, and you can have this delegation going on. It's a good thing, because this is the way you get people involved in ministry, right? Well, I delegate that responsibility to you. And there's accountability, of course, with that. But and so they did. They delegated to these seven people, including that last one, St. Nicholas or Santa Claus. That's great. And so that's how it was done. And you know what's interesting here? If you look at those names, we would know it because we're not in that culture. But those are all, when the church gathered together and said, okay, we're going to choose seven people to be in charge of solving this problem, this administrative problem. Each one of those names are what they call Greek or Hellenistic names. In other words, the people who were being hurt and offended in this, the whole church, including the Jewish ones, said, you know what, let's appoint Greek Jews to solve this problem, and we'll just trust God. Isn't that wonderful? If they had ill feelings before, they finally came to the place like, no, this isn't right. This isn't fair. This is not a loving thing to do. And to make it up, you know, like, we're, you know what, just so that you know, there's going to be some kind of war going on here, we're going to agree with you. Let's choose seven Greek-speaking Jews to solve this problem. And we'll submit to that. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that mature? Doesn't sound like a church, does it? No, but it's amazing. Amazing. But isn't that where God wants to, you know, like, strike one up for the Holy Spirit and, you know, and forget the enemy. He forgot, lost on that one. Isn't that wonderful? And so that's what happened here. And did you know that most of the ministry in the church should be done by lay people? And that's why all this delegation stuff's happening. What's the next slide there? Yeah. God gave pastors and teachers to what? To prepare God's work, God's people rather, to prepare God's people for works of service, that the body of Christ may be built up. So, you know, spiritual leaders, pastors, whatever, you know, our main job is to minister to people and delegate to people so that they'll be inspired to do the work of the ministry in the right attitude, right? I see that that's kind of what we see in Scripture. And so today, we, at the end of the service, we'll be voting on various positions that we have in church, you know, deacons or whatever, different offices. And also, I don't want to, this is our organized ministry, but I want you to also realize, say, well, I'm not a part of an organized ministry in the church, so I guess I'm not doing anything. No, if you're here and you're smiling and you're worshiping God and you're loving people and talking to people, you're doing wonderful ministry. See, there's two kinds of ministry. There's organized ministry, and there's spontaneous ministry. And the spontaneous ministry is just as important as the organized ministry. We need to love each other with the love of Christ in the body, and that's ministry and service too. So I just don't want to get anyone to think, well, I'm not a part of an official position, therefore I'm not doing ministry. No, if you're here, you're doing ministry. That's all you have to do, show up and love God and love people. Okay, number four, and my fourth point is this. We're getting to the end here. Therefore, I'm saying, as you look at everything here, organizing around the Spirit is what is most important. Not organizing, but organizing around the Spirit is what's most important. Whoa, someone's saying it's Morse code here. Maybe that's the Lord saying amen. I don't know. I believe that administration and organization needs to be subservient to the move of the Holy Spirit. It needs to be there, but it needs to be subservient. It is not the most important thing. It's important, but it's not the most important thing. And two points there. Number one, a pastor's main priority is to prayerfully serve the word and care for people. That's what he's saying. They had a wonderful opportunity to prove how wonderful, the 12 had a wonderful opportunity to show, you know what, we're pretty good administrators too. You just watch us solve this problem here. We're going to spend the next, you know, a couple of months administratively ironing this stuff out. And you're going to, at the end, you're going to say, well, you're wonderful administrators. Is that what they said? No, he said, that's not our main calling. It needs to be done. But that is not our main calling. We're going to have to delegate it to you. Our main calling is what? Ministry in the Word of God. Giving our attention to prayer and ministry of the Word. You know, if we're not pointing you to Jesus, if we're not filling you with the vision of Jesus Christ, if we're not filling you with the vision of His love and His grace and faith, if we're not building your faith, then we don't have anything. We're just a secular organization. We don't have body life. If we don't have body life, we don't have anything. Because we organize according to body life, according to the move of the Spirit. And if the Spirit of love and grace and listening to Jesus is not there, we're in big trouble. So, yeah, I know the risk here, they said, but we just don't have time for that and what have you. And then I like the next slide there. When Jesus was talking to Peter just before his ascension into heaven, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, be a good administrator. Get my sheep organized. Right? Is that what it says? Feed my lambs. Feed them the Word of God. Feed them. Show them Jesus. Show them love. Get them connected to the Holy Spirit. And then he said, take care of my sheep. Preaching and pastoring, right? Preaching and pastoring. That's the main deal. And so finally, we see the emphasis here of the Spirit. The administrator. See, now when the disciples, the 12 disciples said to the church, you choose somebody, they said there's only one qualification that they must have. He didn't say they must be excellent administrators, although hopefully that, you know, you want to choose people that have gifts in that area for sure. But that's not what they said. I need to warn you. Just because they're excellent administrators does not mean they're going to do a good job here. What? They should be spirit and faith-filled people. Choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. Choose, and they chose Stephen, and it says, a man full of faith in God and of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing? A person who's full of faith says stuff like this: I know God's in control. I know He loves us. I know He has an answer to this problem. I know He's allowed it. But, you know, we need to relax and look to Him. Lord, what do we need to do in this situation? In any administrative problem, we need to realize first and foremost that it is God who has the ultimate solution. And as a church, if we are looking to Jesus, we will not panic and make bad decisions. We will be prepared to relax and prayerfully wait upon the Lord and then make our move. Maybe we're not 100% sure it's the right move, but if we're done in a spirit of love and grace, you can be sure God's going to be in it somehow in the end. And I've got the next slide there, a definition of faith. To solve problems slowly, calmly, and compassionately before God. Yeah? That's a good definition of faith. Like, oh, here's the problem. Here, all we need to do is this. Boom. Let's get together and let's reflect on this. You know, there's more than one way to solve a problem, right? And is this, you know, how would God want us to solve this problem? Sometimes, I wrote down, and I think it's on your handout too, sometimes how we solve problems is more important than solving them. The church is primarily a living organism listening to the Spirit of Jesus, not a dead organization living by principles and common sense. Can you agree to that? There's a difference. There's a difference. That's why the challenge for us as a church in organization is that we organize ourselves around the Spirit. It's communion.